We just actually released a snapshot that's based on the 2011 Best Places to Work in the federal government. And what we did is analyzed differences between genders and also racial and ethnic divides. And what's actually interesting is I think on the recruitment side of things, generally government is not doing all that badly on some aspects of diversity recruitment. So if you look at the recruitment of Asian Americans, you know, pretty well on pace with what the percentage of Asian Americans in the general population are. The one place in on the recruitment front that we really see a discrepancy is with Hispanics, and clearly there's additional work that needs to be done. Again, on the recruitment front there. What's really interesting about this snapshot, though, is it also looks at how, again, males and females look at their satisfaction with the workplace as well as some of those divides by racial and ethnic groups as well.
How do you increase diversity without doing quotas?
I think what you have to do, Francis, is actually there's a couple of things. One, do targeted recruitment. And, you know, many of your listeners who are in federal government may be cringing right now saying, we can't do targeted recruitment. We've got merit system principles to uphold. You can, in fact, do targeted recruitment. You can't do targeted hiring, but you can, in fact, do targeted recruitment. If you're, in fact, going to the right – if you're, in fact, targeting pools of candidates, one would hope that your ability to influence and reach those populations would be greater, and you'd have a greater percentage of those that are actually in your applicant pool, and are a greater percentage that are also qualified too. So that, I think that's one way. And certainly, Francis, one of the issues to getting diverse populations into your organization as a whole is simply making those populations aware that federal government opportunities even exist, and that they don't necessarily all exist in Washington, D.C., and so on and so forth. So both educating both in a good way, but also breaking some of the myths that exist. I think the second piece is really showing that you're a culture that actually both accepts and is inviting for people with diverse backgrounds, including diverse ideas and viewpoints as well. And I think that's actually where this data really comes into play pretty significantly here. So, for instance, Francis, as you look at men and women within the federal workforce, women were, if you looked at the issue of fairness, so do you feel like you're treated fair, or do you feel that you're empowered to do great work? If you look at the fairness issue, women actually were less satisfied than men regarding fairness. If you look at empowerment, again, women felt like they were less empowered than men were. And you can this data allows you, the Best Places to Work data actually allows you not only to look at that from male to female, but also how does this are there gaps between different racial and ethnic groups as well? And from there, you can, you know, certainly somebody with any type of background isn't going to want to. We've had this conversation about best places to work in general.
Mm-hmm.
If you're at the bottom of the list in terms of satisfaction, there aren't probably a lot of people who are going, that's the one I want to go work for. I want to go to work for subcomponent 240. They're looking at it saying, I want to go to, you know, subcomponent 1 through 10 because that's a great place to work. I think the same is true when you look at this from various demographic views as well, is where are they, what agencies are those who are really embracing diversity, not simply by bringing diverse candidates in the door, but creating a culture and an environment that is supportive and tolerant.
Who is doing it well, or maybe more importantly, what are the agencies that are doing it well doing to make them do it well?
So it really depends upon what types of issues that you're looking at. So again, you know, in typical best places to work rankings, we actually did rank agencies on some of these issues. And if you look, for instance, on the issue just between males and females about fairness, you look and they're at the top of the list in terms of the gap between The gap between what males thought and what females thought about fairness, at the top of the list, Veterans Affairs and Department of Justice. Down toward the bottom of the list, EEOC and Small Business Administration. So what are they doing? You know, again, I think what they're doing is creating a culture, and again, this is really what Best Places is about here, is creating a culture that, and an enlightened leadership that's actually paying attention to these issues and saying, you know what, if some segment of our workforce isn't viewing that we're fair or that we're empowering them as much as another segment, we actually need to take a look at what those drivers are. And go a few steps deeper than that, which may in fact mean we need to look at things like, you know, the mission match between skills and employee skills and the mission of the organization. We may need to look at, you know, how our pay is distributed as well. So again, a lot of different things that make up this. This is not an easy, here's the answer and here's what's going to turn this thing around. It really requires some really deep thought.